Hello and welcome to another episode of Mailbag Not Without My Sister.
The first episode, the inaugural episode of Mailbag Not
really?
Without My Sister. We've never done a mailbag before.
We did. We did some things on people writing and stuff. Was that not?
I think we answered people's questions and we...
Is that not... Were they not mailbags? They were not Celtic?
No. A mailbag is just people sent us messages. Like,
I've got a better one. Hello and welcome to Female Bag.
Do you like Female Bag? I'm Rosemary McCabe.
I'm Beatrice McCabe, also known as
Female Bag.
Yeah.
Today we thought we'd just go through a little bit of the mailbag, a little bit of what people have been sending to us.
Female bag.
Oh, gee, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that over and over again. It sounds
Send
weird.
The bag. I'm going through the bag.
Going through the emails and messages we've received on Instagram.
I'm
going
to create a jingle. I'm going to create a jingle for this. Female bag.
Okay. Do you want me to talk or do you want me to stop talking?
I want you to stop talking.
Oh. We always ask people to email us, notwithoutmysis@gmail.com. notwithoutmysister@gmail.com, isn't it? Jesus,
do you know what I'll else? Do you know what else?
What?
I was just going to interject to say, could we get some reviews, please, lads? Could we please have some reviews? I love to read them. And there just has been a dearth of reviews recently.
I thought it was Darth. Is it dearth? No, I'm genuinely wondering. I'm thinking out loud.
Well, maybe you're right. Darth Vader. It's dearth.
Is it D-E-A-R-T-H, yeah. Is it?
Oh my God. I'm going to look this up now. Dearth. Upside down E. Dearth.
Is that what an upside down E means?
Yeah.
Oh.
Let's look up how you pronounce earth.
Okay. Let's move on. I always thought it was Arth. Planet Arth.
Oh my God.
We were feeling a bit low in ourselves due to the lack, I prefer the word lack, due to the lack of reviews we've been receiving. So we thought we'd go through our compliments that we've been receiving by email and on Instagram and read them out.
Oh, really?
Well, some of them are, yeah,
that's
most
nice.
Of them are pretty complimentary.
I mean, that's a bit big-headed of us,
and
but
it's,
okay.
And it's notwithoutmysis@gmail.com. Not, as I just said, not without my sister.
Oh, please send us in some reviews. Tell us what we could be doing better, but only ever give us 5 stars, please.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks
exactly.
So much.
Send us some constructive criticism, but don't publish it on the internet. Send it to us privately, notwithoutmysis@gmail.com or on Instagram at notwithoutmysister. Okay, so here's one from, I'm going to read just first names because I don't want to, in case people want to... modicum of privacy, which obviously I don't understand the concept
unless
of,
they criticise us, and then we're going to read out their
names. Yeah. No, we haven't got any criticism to our faces anyway.
Aww.
So this is from Fiona. Hi Rosemary and Beatrice, I love your podcast. I have 3 sisters in Ireland and a half sister in New Zealand. It's very far away from Ireland. I mean, that'd be tough. I spent 12 years in the US from 1997 to 2008, and when I was there, I missed my sisters. We're back in Ireland since 2008 with 2 kids, 18 and 19, so can relate to a lot. You're both very lucky to have each other in Fort Wayne. Don't take the uncensored rapport for granted. I'll never forget some of the raised eyebrows with some of my innocuous comments when I lived there, so don't take for granted having someone to be yourself with.
Aww.
P.S. You're now top of my list above Tommy, Hector and Loretta, and I'm relatively new to podcasts. Fiona.
Thanks, Fiona.
Yeah, I love to be number one on people's lists, especially if I'm above a male DJ, you know, my arch nemesis. Tommy and Hector are DJs as well as comedians. I'm saying.
Why are they your arch nemesis?
Because they've all blocked me on Twitter, because we've covered this before. we covered this. PJ Gallagher has me blocked.
I know lots of people have you blocked, but why do these famous podcasters have you blocked?
I don't actually think Tommy and Hector have me blocked, but in general, male DJ is a sector that is high on my... high on the
they go like,
high instance of blocking Rosemary. Joe Duffy, Beatrice.
I know. Why do they hate you so much? Seriously.
I mean, I don't think it means they hate me. I think Ray Darcy blocked me as well. I don't think it's anything to him.
Ray Darcy blocked you? Could you look that up?
Yeah.
Why would Ray...
Not 100% sure.
Innocent Ray Darcy. Has Dustin the Turkey blocked you as well?
No, Beatrice.
Why would Ray Darcy block you? All jokes aside. Has What's-His-Face blocked you? That other dude.
Who?
The other guy.
No, Ray Darcy hasn't blocked me.
Oh,
who?
Good.
Pat Kenny? No.
I love Ray Darcy.
Pat Kenny's not on Twitter. No,
your other man, the guy with the long face, the presenter, Irish
Ryan
guy.
Tuberty.
Yeah.
The guy with the long face. How did I even, I mean, the fact that I knew that is also bad.
Has he blocked you?
No.
Will he block you after I said that?
Maybe. I think sometimes people like subscribe to lists. So they'll just be like, block everyone who's blocked by this other person because they think, you know what I mean? They have a lot in common. So like, for example, I might look at somebody like Laura Bates, who does the Everyday Sexism Project, and be like, if she's blocked someone, it's for a good reason. I'll just block everyone she's blocked. So you can do that. You can do like blanket list.
Talk about lack of conviction. You're just going to block everybody that somebody else is blocking.
Yeah, because you don't want to hear from them. During the referendum to repeal the Eighth Amendment, there was a thing on Twitter called Repeal Shield where you could subscribe to it and it would automatically block everybody they blocked who was like all these pro-lifer people that kept tweeting people with like awful pictures of fetuses and stuff. And they were just like, you can block all these people. But then some people got accidentally included on the list. There was a bit of an uproar, a bit of a furore.
I mean.
Or is it furor? That's a joke.
Oh.
Sarah messaged us in response to our now a good few episodes ago episode on contraception and said, I used breastfeeding as a contraceptive method for months. If you're breastfeeding a good bit, you don't ovulate, and I was still feeding my 15-month-old at the time. Well, her sister was born 9 months later. She's a delight, and I probably would have put it off for years otherwise, but let this be a lesson. My husband has promised a vasectomy.
Oh, yeah. I don't think that's...
unusual. Sure it's not.
No, I don't think that's considered to be a very reliable... because I was also reading lots of things about that, and my doctor was like, no, that's... if you want to be sure...
To be sure. Sure, we have relatives who similarly were breastfeeding and then had their next child. And I know, I think two friends who that, I mean, not happened to, because I think like it wasn't that they were like, we don't want any more kids. You know what I mean? But it was just, it happened a bit sooner than they thought it would because they
just
thought
it's
they
not
were
not as reliable as you might want it to be.
No, but I think, I mean, I would assume once your period is back, whether you're breastfeeding or not, that you're ovulating. I would assume that for myself, if you know what I mean. I hope my period never comes back. I mean, I don't, because that'd be bad too, but like...
yeah, I was about to say, I hope my period goes away forever, but then that means something totally else. So I'm like, oh.
Not yet.
Yeah, I'm already wrecked. I got a spot this week as well. Don't need that anymore. Sorry, I digress.
So, I mean, you can see why we needed these compliments. Gabrielle emailed us and said...
oh, Emily in Paris?
No.
Gabrielle?
Gabrielle, a woman. Oh. Emailed us and said, hello. Okay. Honestly, listening to you both makes me so happy. I haven't seen one of my sisters since Christmas. This was last year she sent us this. And the other lives away foreign, so it's been 2 years. I lived in Australia for 7 years, so I can relate to all of your stories about missing parents and parents visiting and sisterly love. And she put in a heart emoji. And this was in response to the episode we did on store cupboard essentials, things that we always have in our pantry, right? So she says, anyway, my odd cupboard essentials are cream cheese and jalapenos for making dip.
Yeah.
Capers and anchovies for
have
pizza
them.
Sauce and
have
toppings.
Them both, yeah.
And prawns in the freezer for paella, ceviche, etc. My version of both is definitely not true to the original, but I do my best. I think
we
those are
the
our
same
strangest.
Person. We are the same person. I have all those things in my cupboard at all times.
Thanks for such a great pod. Le Gros, Gabrielle.
Aww.
Very nice. Do you really have all those things in
I
your
do
cupboard?
Indeed. Well, actually, I have anchovy paste.
I mean, that counts, doesn't it?
I hope so. I have two things of capers because I didn't realize I had one and I bought another one to make sure I would never run out.
What a caper.
I was about to say that too, yeah.
So this was in response to the recent episode that we did about Atlas's birth. And this is from Roberta, you bitch. Hi there, I'm just listening to your latest episode of the podcast while I'm up feeding my 7-month-old. I'm not usually one for sending messages to podcasts, bit Irish, she says. But I just wanted to say thank you for such an honest and really brilliant episode. I had so many of the same experiences on my first baby, planning a delightful natural birth with a hilariously optimistic birth plan that ended up in an emergency section. It's so generous of Rosemary. Thanks, Roberta. It's so generous of Rosemary to share her experience, especially the tough feelings around feeling disappointed. I totally relate to not feeling like I'd done anything much really, more that it happened to me. When I got pregnant with my second, I talked to a pregnancy therapy counselor about all of that, which was, I have to say, really helpful in figuring out how the hell I was hoping to get my second baby out of me. Anyway, thanks so much for sharing and well done to Rosemary and, of course, to Beatrice too in her supporting role.
Thanks so much. It was tough. Let me tell you, she's not the easiest patient, you know, but I mean, I don't want to take all the glory here. So well done, Rosemary.
Am I not the easiest patient?
Yeah, you're totally grand. Patient, wasn't you're I? Totally grand. I'm only joking. That sounds like a good idea. A pregnancy, whatever.
Yeah.
What was it called? A pregnancy therapist?
A pregnancy counselor. Yeah.
That's a good idea. I could do with one of those now, I still think.
Well, I went to a therapist before I had Atlas because I was really worried that I was going to get postpartum depression and I was getting anxious about all the things that could happen. I mean, mostly I wasn't actually that worried about things that could happen during birth because I just assumed it was all going to be straightforward, which it wasn't. But I was getting worried about things that could happen afterwards. So I saw a counselor before I had Atlas and she was helpful, but I think it just wasn't. I mean, we've mentioned this before, haven't we? It wasn't the same therapy that I'm used to, as in it wasn't like, let's talk about your feelings. It was like, I'd go, I'm worried about this. And she'd go, okay, well, what are the steps you can take to not worry about it, or to, you know, to make sure that you have supports in place for when that does happen, or else why are you worrying about that? You're being ridiculous.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Not really, like, shouldn't say you're being ridiculous, but there was one point I said, I'm worried that if this happens, my husband will think this. And she said, oh, are you psychic?
I thought that was brilliant. I actually liked her.
I know you did.
Are you still seeing her?
No.
Do you think you're doing fine?
I have days where I'm like, I'm doing great. And then I have other days where, the other day I was literally like, oh my God, am I having like a postpartum breakdown? I'd had 2 or 3 days in a row where I was just feeling really wobbly and crying a lot and feeling very worried about Atlas and about me and about everything and just feeling very overwhelmed. So no, I don't think I'm fine. But I also just didn't find her that comforting, even though, like, I know some people find the practical stuff very comforting. But I didn't find
you needed more reassurance.
I feel like it was for me, maybe.
Luckily for you, you have me. You know that if you ever have problems, you can come to me and I'm always guaranteed to make you feel better.
Exactly.
Isn't that right?
What was it the other day I said something to you and you went, you're fine? And I was like, that's okay. I'm fine, I guess.
Are you fine? Well, and as Dad would say, was I wrong?
Were you not fine?
Were you not fine?
Hello, ladies, says Gillian. First time listener, although I followed Rosemary for a while. Smiley emoji.
Bless her.
Just wanted to say, I listened to your episode about quitting jobs this morning at 6 a.m. and it was fabulous. I've recently handed in my notice and had to share the news with my team today, which I was dreading. The episode was such a big help and gave me a good outside perspective on things. So thank you. I have a long drive ahead of me later. Can't wait to listen to a few more. Kiss, kiss.
Do you know what's really bad?
You can't remember that episode at all?
No, not at all. That's not what I was going to say is really bad. As you were saying that, I went, I have realized that since we're now all working from home so often and I am behind a screen, well, like always with my camera on, just to be clear, muted, I now make all types of old lady noises in the middles of meetings when people say things that I find interesting, stupid, whatever. I now go, And of course, as you can imagine, it's not something that I'm aware of or can control. So now I do it all the fucking time. And it is so stupid. And when I'm in meetings now, people say things like, well, you know, Sarah said that this is going to happen on Tuesday. And I now go, loudly. And like an old lady, which is fine to be an old lady, but like an annoying lady.
When you have your microphone muted or your microphone on?
No, I'm talking about it is now when I am back in the office in in-person meetings.
Oh.
I now do it quite spontaneously.
Because I feel like on Zoom, we all started doing it to kind of go, I am listening, to kind of prove that I'm not just looking at my phone or I'm not just staring blankly at the screen, or, you know what I mean?
No, because when we're not talking, we're muted.
Oh. Well, then why did you start doing that?
I'm saying I started doing it obviously to keep myself company in the long, long hours of working from home, being on the computer the whole time. It became something that I mean, unconsciously started to do. And now I seem like I'm like one of those people who farts in meetings. I'm like,
There's nothing worse than farting in a Zoom. Oh, I did it once with my friends, thankfully not in a meeting.
Okay, I have not farted in a meeting.
Okay, I'm sure you haven't. You don't fart. But there's nothing worse than farting in a Zoom. You know when it, like, the microphone turns on as you make a noise?
No.
And then yes. So, you know, like, if you don't have everyone muted on Zoom, when you start talking, your little square lights up and it'll be like, Rosemary's talking now.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, but I have farted before and the fart makes my screen light up. Like, Rosemary's talking. Rosemary's making a noise now. You're like, oops.
Well, that's fine. You have a baby. Now, if anybody goes,
this was before I had the baby.
Now, if anybody goes, Rosemary, were you saying something? You just go, oh,
the baby.
It was Atuus.
I do that all the time, to be fair. Oh, somebody farted. It was Vinny. Oh my God, did I tell you the other day? So, do you remember? Oh my God, Brandon will probably kill me for saying this. Now he won't actually care. When we got out of, we took the boys to laser tag. And when we finished laser tag, somebody opened the door and we saw that it was like a foot of snow outside. I got such a fright. I haven't driven in the snow yet, really, over here. Probably did last year, but I don't really remember. Maybe I just stayed in all the time. But I haven't driven in the snow yet this year. So I was very nervous and I had our two boys with us. So I immediately was like, okay, we have to, you know, wrap this up and get going. So we got out in the car. The boys couldn't put on their seatbelts. I was outside trying to put their belts on. Eventually got into the driver's seat. And with the sheer nerves of it, Beatrice, a big fart popped out. Silent, right? So next thing you know, what's that smell? What's the smell? And I was like, God, I don't know. It's a terrible smell, right? And then one of them, Finn or William, went, oh, it smells like one of Dad's farts. But they literally never put it together that it was my fart.
You know, that's really romantic. You know the way they say that girls who live together or work together get on the same cycle? You and Brandon obviously have the same farts.
Fart stink.
Ugh. Did you have to add that word stink?
Yeah.
That was like a bit graphic.
Okay, we got a message from Aoife.
Gross.
Very important to note that the low light in the sitting room is very realistic, as all houses in Ireland only use the side lights and never the big light to avoid wasting electricity. Remember, we talked about the big light one day. Talked about never putting on the big light. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
she's right.
Well, the really weird thing is that in Fort Wayne, there are no ceiling lights. There are no center ceiling lights.
Oh, we have center ceiling lights.
Not
in
every room. In tons of the rooms.
Oh, no, not in every room. Yeah, you're right.
In loads of the rooms, there are no ceiling lights. You're supposed to, I don't know what.
Use lamps.
Yeah, use lamps. It's bizarre. And there's no, like, there's no electrical wiring for them. And there's no, like, missing, you know, piece of hanging, whatever, wire for you to put in your centerpiece lighting.
Just doesn't exist.
No, you're in this box with lamps. It's bizarre.
Huh.
You never noticed that when you went to buy your
house? No, but now I'm thinking about it a lot. I'm like, oh, you're actually right. Because in our house, so we have a center light in our living room, but then in our, in the kind of other living area, there are these recessed lights back against one wall. And then the rest of the room just has blank ceiling. You know what I mean? That you're obviously supposed to put in lamps or whatever, but you end up, I don't know, it's a weird configuration. You'd have to put a lamp in the middle of the middle of the room practically.
It's very odd.
Okay, a message from Sinead. Just listen to your episode on navigation where you mentioned the Bayeux Tapestry.
Say that again, Rosemary. On what?
Maps. Where you mentioned the Bayeux Tapestry.
I feel like you pronounce that in a way that you make fun of somebody else.
Just
in our
listen
family.
To your episode on navigation where you mentioned the Bayeux Tapestry.
Navigation.
It's hard to say. Navigate. You say it.
I'll say navigation.
You don't say it like that.
I do. I say, let's go. Let's navigate. Let's do some navigation.
Whereas I say, let's navigate.
Yes.
Navigation.
<do.
laughs> Just listen to your episode on navigation where you mentioned the tapestry. Before our wedding a few years ago, myself and my husband drove to the north of France to get wine for our reception. That's a big test now. Before the wedding, that's brave. I feel like I'd fall out with somebody driving to France to get wine. Oh. Anyway, my husband is big into history and we saw every World War beach, gun and plane in the entire of the northern coastline in the trip. A very patient woman. So when he mentioned going to see a tapestry, I thought he was taking the piss. Sadly, he wasn't. The feckin' thing is so long, it takes ages to look at and it's so boring. It was the straw that broke the camel's back after all the World War stuff and we had a huge fight about it. Fast forward to our wedding day, and what was in the reception room? Only a reproduction painting of the Bayeux Tapestry. I have to say, it made me smile on my morning commute to hear Rosemary say she said it was out of the country. Very fast thinking, and she definitely dodged a bullet.
So bratty. Did you ever find out if Claire's mom ever...
No, I'll have to...
Ever knew about this?
No, I'll ask Claire.
Yeah, you have
totally
to
totally forgot about
actually,
that.
Actually, classic.
Oh, God. Kira says, you're giving me countless hours of laughs as I go about my boring day up in the back arts of Queensland. People are really all over the world. I mean, most obvious statement
ever.
That'd
be interesting. I'd love to go there.
Would love to be able to sit there and have the chats with my sister like that. Oh, makes me sad for all the years we were apart and happy for now that we're together.
Oh, that's so nice.
Rachel messaged us and said, hello, love the podcast, and I've got my mum and sister on it as well. Just listened to your episode on Good Girls and wanted to recommend a show to you both. If you haven't yet, you should watch Parks and Rec.
I have not watched it, and that is actually based in Indiana.
Yes, she says it stars Retta, and also because it takes place in the fictional town of Pawnee, Indiana. Also, if you're looking for topic suggestions for future episodes, we've got this a few times, Beatrice. I'd love to hear you talk about your favourite podcasts.
Okay.
Looking forward to more episodes. Rachel in Austin, Texas. But we can't do an episode of podcasts because you don't listen to any podcasts.
Yes, I do.
What podcasts do you listen to?
I'll keep them for the episode.
You are clearly fibbing. You're just going to go off and listen to the podcast now to like prepare.
Well, listen, that's fine. I will.
You know what? On the topic of which, I have actually 100 podcasts to recommend. So this isn't ruining anything. But I've been listening to two podcasts about the Elizabeth Holmes Theranos verdict. One is called Bad Blood and the other is called The Dropout. And I'm finding them I find the whole trial very fascinating.
Well, you can watch the TV series now with Amanda Seyfried.
I know.
Yeah.
Based on
The Dropout.
The Dropout podcast. Yeah. And that's on Hulu, right?
I don't know, Rosemary.
I think they were talking about it. I'm excited. Elizabeth Holmes, the new Steve Jobs, except not. Anyway, this is the last one, Beatrice.
Go
so
on.
You better think of something to say for the last 10 minutes.
Go on.
Just finished. Oh, sorry. This is from D. Just finished the latest episode about concerts. So this is from quite a while ago. Strap in. I have a few gigs to tell you about and I'll try not to be too long. D, you failed. First.
Rosemary, after this, I want you to read the one about the knickers. Wasn't there one from way back?
Oh, God. I don't know. Oh, yeah, you're right. I'll have to try and find her. About the slide.
Actually, classic.
Oh, what's her name? I'll have to try and find her.
Oh.
First saw David Gray, midnight at the Olympia, March 1995. My mates, a bunch of lads. I hate guys, girls. But I know Deej, not a guys, girl.
What?
But like, She said, my mates,
I
a bunch
love
of lads.
Guys, girls.
Oh, no. Girls who only have male friends, don't trust them.
What?
My mates were poor students and chipped in to buy me the £8 ticket in HMV as they were insistent that I would love David Gray, and they weren't wrong.
So nice.
They'd sat, you say, actually, so nice. Maybe I should have had more male friends. They sat me down in their gaff and made me listen to his first album, A Century Ends, the song Wisdom, to be precise. The lads were all big fans, so I went with them. We were broke, so chipping in was a big deal. I think we could all afford 2 pints each, and we walked from Drumcondra to the Olympia and back that night. Saw him in Whelan's, the Temple Bar Music Centre, now Button Factory. Only ever saw him in small venues, never saw him in a big venue. Much prefer small places, but was delighted to see him hit the big time with White Ladder. Well deserved. REM. I was at the same gig as Beatrice in Slane, and I didn't think it was amazing. I like a personality with my bands, and all Michael Stipe said in between songs was either, hi there, here's a song. You're here, we're here. Here's a song. Did my head in. Then my sister brought me with her to see REM years later in Lansdowne Road, and I agreed under duress. Good old Michael had had a personality transplant and was all the crack on stage.
Oh.
Crack jokes about the Corrs, who were playing the following night, promising to put the toilet seat down, etc., and also jumping up and down on stage a good 5 minutes after their encore ended and the rest of the band had left. Turns out he had had a personality transplant. I read an article shortly after where he stated for a number of years, including the year of Slane, that he said he took everything too seriously and was a bit of a twat. Oh. Liked him even more for admitting that. P.S. Totally agree with B about fake nails. Cannot wear fake nails. It feels like a weird, something alien attached to me. Anytime I have stuck a nail on, I immediately take them off.
I agree.
So there's your soul sister.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, you know, I might have another one. Oh, this is a review.
Oh, go on.
I follow Sophie White on Instagram. I got sick of her plugging this podcast so much that I had to listen to it. I can't explain the joy I feel when listening. So funny, so relatable. I understand why she couldn't stop talking about the girls. I love them both so much, but I truly adore Beatrice. Sorry, Rosemary. I also can't say her name now unless it's in an Italian accent. Beatrice, can we be buddies? Seriously, what a fantastically funny person you are. Oh, sorry, she did write duo. Thanks for the chuckles. Winking smiley face. How nice, Rosemary.
You are such an absolute dickhead. I was like, oh, she's going to read like a selection of reviews completely neutrally and objectively and just pick them for no reason. But no, I should have known. Should have known.
The other thing I wanted to add, do you remember in the most recent episode we talked about your penchant for tuna ketchup sandwiches and then you went off to look for the facts afterwards?
Yeah.
Went out to mom and you were like, I just thought people might like that cleared up because you kind of left that hanging out there. Were they really tuna and ketchup and was it of your own choice or did mom shove these down your throat?
No, what actually happened was I went out and I went, mom, why did you give me tuna and ketchup sandwiches at school? And mom said,
very calmly,
what?
Because you absolutely loved them.
She did, the old wench.
She did. And Roisin did text back and say that she too was a fan.
Yeah, because I said, was it true that, like, you know, I was like, am I remembering wrong? Or do you have tuna and ketchup
sandwiches?
We're
going to call them the TKS.
Ugh. And she said, yeah, that was weird. And then she said, I must have one now to see if it's still nice.
Did she have one?
I don't know, actually.
Oh,
I must
have
text her.
That's
I must
brave.
Have one. I know. Gross. Oh,
I'll make you one now after this.
No, thanks. I have to go home. Oh, I think I found the person now. We got a message 2 years ago. Well, November 2020, so a year and a half. From Sophie, who allowed me to read out the story. Not Sophie White. Not author Sophie White, my best friend. Different Sophie. I have a horrendous story about the National Aquatic Centre, Blanchetown. She goes, haha, four wines deep. Looking at this response. I said, what's the story? She goes, I was 14. My parents had just separated. Dad was trying to make things fun. So the place had just opened. He gave us the day off school. Skimming over the rest of the nice day, there was one ride that Dad was like, go on, Sophie. I have to mind Joe, my 3-year-old brother at the time. Go on, Sophie. You'll love it. We'll wait for you. Okay. Bolstered by this wild enthusiasm and encouragement, off I go in my faux denim bikini. I would have loved a faux denim bikini. Just keep in mind, this place had just opened for the Special Olympics. Huge queues. For this half pipe ride, that powerfully gushes of water push. For this half pipe ride, the powerful gushes of water push you from side to side. This is the ride, right? Off I go. Thumbs up to Dad. Onlookers a go-go. It's my turn.
I feel like she could be a writer.
She could, yes. Very good. Fine. Gripping the bodyboard. It's fun. Okay, bikini bottom's kind of being pulled down. Right. They're at my knees. My whole arse is out. She goes, oh, look, they're gone. Why has nobody stopped the ride? Oh, now it's over. I said, oh my God, gone. And she goes, they're stuck in the filter.
Can you imagine?
She goes, about 100 onlookers now. Nobody knows what to do. I'd eventually finished. She goes, as I cover my triangular, powerful bush with my hand, I have to put on my bikini bottoms. And she goes, nothing was ever mentioned.
That's the worst.
I walk over to my dad and he's like, see you at the car, yeah?
You walked over like, was there even a towel?
Well, she said she had put on her, she rescued her bikini bottoms from the filter, put them on her, walked over to her dad who was minding her little brother, and he goes, see you at the car. Right, because she used to go to the ladies' changing room, used to go to the male changing room with her brother.
I can't.
She goes, nothing was ever mentioned, I just swallowed it. Until about 2 years ago, my dad looked at me one day and started snickering and was like, remember that day?
Oh my God.
She goes, horrendous. She goes, it's funny, but only now.
Oh my God. Actually amazing. Yeah. So mortifying.
Yeah, and she goes, I just find it so gas. It was buried the second it happened. And at that age, 14, and with everything going on, with dad gone to a different house and everything, the last thing I needed was a laugh being pointed in my new teenage body way. So he did me a big favour.
Oh,
by ignoring
dad.
It. She goes, he's a kind man and I love him. Poor dad, though.
Oh, poor dad.
I can't amazing. Imagine what our dad would have done.
I don't even. I feel like that. Well, I mean, yesterday when you had some, I don't know.
Dad moment, probably wouldn't even have noticed he'd be reading his book.
You had that moment about like, can you believe that one day our kids will grow up and we'll never see their bodies again? Dad had just decided to come in and join us in the room, sit there on the couch. And I said, Dad, if you like, I can take my clothes off now. If you ever feel like you missed those days. And he just goes, no, thanks. I'm fine. So I think that answers that.
Well, to be fair, this was right after we'd gone to that. We'd gone downtown for lunch and I'd been feeding the baby sitting across from him. And then been like, what? The baby's peed on me. And suddenly looked down and my breast was literally just pouring milk. And he went, oh, yeah. There it is. Like, oh, yeah. I was like, oh, God. A disaster.
Dad needs to learn that no matter what you say when you are breastfeeding, he is not to point his eyes in the direction of your boobs. This is off limits for Dad. And I'm gesticulating, gesturing.
She's literally rubbing her nips. It's really weird.
This is off limits for Dad.
It's like a mixed message. Really weird. Okay. Awful. Awful. Oh, I think it's time to wrap it up.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you so much for listening. Get us on Instagram at Not Without My Sister or individually at Rosa McCabe and at Beatrice McCabe. Do email us, notwithoutmysis@gmail.com, because now that we've known a mailbag episode can be a good laugh, we'll do them again.
A what?
Female bag episode.
I feel uncomfortable now going out to Dad. You've made me feel like a weirdo.
Well, just don't go out rubbing your nipples and you'll be fine. Thanks so much for listening. Bye. Not Without My Sister is produced by Liam Geraghty. Sound and original music by Don Kirkland. And our original illustration is by Lindsay Nielsen.
Not Without My Sister is a member of The Warren.
As is our podcast, The Critter Shed.
For more great podcasts, hop along to thewarren.ie.